I'm going to transition at this time to today's message. Looking forward to sharing a message. It's we just finished our series, Knowing Jesus. And so today's message is actually a one-time message. It's called Cultivating a Heart of Generosity. So Glenn and I were thinking about different things we could hit on for today. And one of the things we try to hit on maybe like once a year or twice a year or throughout the year is really being a good steward with the resources that God has given us. And today we're going to really focus on that, on the heart. Because we can look at a lot of symptoms, a lot of external things, but really it's about the heart that really matters. Because when God has control of our heart and we surrender our heart to God, we really can be available to be used by God anywhere and at any time using our resources to glorify Him. So cultivating a heart of generosity. And I want to look at two different things today specifically. One is greed and one is being generous. And as a church body, I got to say, I've been so blessed. Crystal and I have been so blessed by the generosity we personally have received through this church body. And as I begin, just to share, when I first came up here as an intern in 2011, the Lord's just like taking me from New Hampshire, brought me up here. I'm not from the area. I left a job that, you know, was paying decently, came here as an intern and really, you know, got to learn that God can be a provider. I didn't have a lot of resources, and I quickly actually ran out of resources. And let me tell you, I was so blessed by this church body. I remember after all my money ran out the first semester I was here, I didn't have enough money for rent. And you would think, oh no, like what happened? What happened, God? Did you run out of provision? No, God just wanted to provide for me in other ways. And I remember Glenn's right over here, but Glenn and Beverly, they opened up their home to me. They were super generous. And we can be generous in different ways. We're like, hey, why don't you come live with us for the summer? And I was so blessed to be able to be there. We still joke about how much salad I was eating. I think my body was in, you know, shock. It was so healthy, and I'm so thankful for that. Probably need to get back to the salads. But it was such a great time and such a generosity. I was like, wow, opening up not just their hearts, but also their home. I'm like, what a great example of being generous. And they didn't charge me anything. They could have, but they're just like, we just want to bless you. I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. I remember then in the fall semester, right after the summer, I was looking for a place to be. But once again, the resources I had, I just wasn't able to pay for college-based, you know, housing. And for those who are students, you know how much it can cost per month. It can be quite steep. And so I remember once again, a lady right down the road on Grant Street, some of you know her, Debbie Gordon, used to go by Debbie Marr. She's just like, hey, you're in ministry for Jesus. She's like, as long as you're doing that, she's like, I would love to open one of my apartments. She's a landlady, landlord, and she opened up her apartment. She let me stay there. That's like the generosity, right, in the community. I remember when I first was here, I was, you know, trying to figure out how to boil water and make pasta. So I asked my roommate, Brian, how do you do that? He's like, start with water and put it in a pot. And I was like, oh, okay, I see where we're going. I was pretty limited on my cooking skills. I've grown a lot, but I was very limited. And I remember when I got a meat lasagna. It was amazing. It was from Karen Stauffer. And like this thing I could eat for like days. And it was so good. I just remember the generosity of food be given right towards me. I was so, so thankful. I remember Don and Diane Romline with Adam. They opened up their home to me. I believe it was for almost 6 months straight. Every Tuesday night, I would go over there, and they would have a meal with me. And Diane is an amazing, amazing cook. And so I got blessed with this incredible meal. But what was even better than that was the generosity of their fellowship, right? They spent time with me, and I would be so excited for Tuesdays. It's like, I can't wait for Tuesdays to hang out with the Romlines, share a meal, and just have a time to fellowship with one another. So I just want to say I've been super blessed. Crystal and I have been super blessed. There's so many more stories I could talk about the generosity of the brothers and sisters in Christ at New Hope Community Church. So when I talk about cultivating a heart of generosity, I'm not coming from a place of no one's generous here. We need to be more generous. I'm like, let's keep growing, right? And generosity that reflects the generosity of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We can keep cultivating that. So when I talk about greed and that generosity, just know I am so thankful. But let's talk about greed for one moment. So greed is an intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth, power, or food. So this idea that you want something, but for your own purposes, right? You want to use it for your own selfish means. And oftentimes I don't know many people that say I'm greedy, but sometimes we can live greedy. I know I've lived greedy, right? You can have the right external, outward, like I'm doing the right thing. You can even serve people and still be greedy, right? Because we can sometimes, unfortunately, do things while our heart is wanting, we want the full praise, or we want the full reward of this money, or we want to have that power given, or the food that we're given, really we're hoping that we get all of it. And God wants to have his children, brothers and sisters of Christ, have hearts of generosity that will look to give, whatever that might be. So even though I will be talking a little bit about money, really it's the heart of generosity. You can give time, you can give a listening ear, you can love someone with an encouraging word, you can give finances. There's so many ways we can be generous. But once again, once the heart is generous, all our resources then can be generous and glorifying to our Lord and Savior. So as we begin, I'm going to be looking at some of what Jesus said about money and generosity in different places. And so it's a bit topical, so we'll be looking at different passages. So I hope you can follow along with me. It should be on the screen. But the first one is in Matthew 6, 19 to 21. So we're going to look at three portions that Jesus said and then one that Paul mentioned later on. So three portions. So Matthew 6, 19 to 21. And Jesus in this context is talking about treasure. And I know if there's kids watching, it's like, yeah, treasure, let's talk about treasure. Who doesn't love talking about treasure? So Jesus says this. He says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I want to read verse 21 again. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's very interesting the way Jesus phrased that, right? Where someone's treasure is, their heart will follow, right? And oftentimes, where our money is, our heart will follow. I don't know if you ever realized that. I was just reflecting on this past week as I was studying God's word. I just love God's word. I was studying it, and recently, one of my family members gave me this like little link thing where you could sign up for like $5 of free stock. You put $1 in, you get five. So I was like, cool, so I have $6. So I'm deep in the game. I mean that in a joking way, but I love talking about that. So anyways, I put my $6 first in the Apple because I thought that would be fun. And I don't really know anything about stocks, and nor am I trying to tell you what you should invest in at all. So do not do that. This is an illustration. But then someone's telling me about Bitcoins. It's the new gold, Jim. You got to get it on Bitcoins. So I was like, sweet. So I sold all $6 of Apple stock. Pretty big move. Put it right into Bitcoins, right? I don't care about Bitcoins. To be honest, I never even looked at. I don't even know how they work. You know, I really don't. I don't understand it. But it's funny. Having $6 in a Bitcoin, right, like cybercurrency, you know what happens? I now check Bitcoin, how it's doing, almost on a daily level. And I have $6 in. That's like really nothing. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? What we treasure is where our mind, our emotions, our being, everything will focus on. And if we're not careful, if our treasure is not in the kingdom of God and his purposes, we can fall to a lesser treasure, a treasure where we're building it up on earth, which ultimately Jesus is saying, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, that treasure will not last. So as we're beginning this message, where's your treasure today? Is your treasure focused on the kingdom of God and his purposes and building treasure in heaven? And if you're wondering, what does treasure look like in heaven? Know that the most important thing to Jesus is not your wallet, your purse, or your money. It's people who are lost. It says heaven celebrates, not when someone gives a tithe or an offering. Heaven celebrates when those who were once lost were found. When those who were once spiritually dead are made alive. If you want to build treasure in heaven, invest in the people. Love people well. Show the gospel, share the gospel. Feed the poor, help the widows. Build treasure in heaven. Wow. And let me tell you, you can do that anywhere at any time. This message is not for just low, middle class or lower class or upper class. This message is, do you love people? Do you love Jesus? Do you treasure the things Jesus treasures? So Jesus gives an example a story that he was talking to in the New Testament where he was talking to someone who had a lot of wealth. A lot of wealth. And I'm not, once again, I want to say very carefully, if you have a lot of wealth, you're blessed with a lot of wealth, that's great. The main thing is not following wealth over Jesus. And this one young rich man had a lot of money, but we're about to see his money was his priority over following Jesus' commands. In Mark 10, verses 17 to 27, Jesus has this encounter. So this is the second they're going to look at that Jesus was sharing today. It says, as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have kept from my youth," which is pretty impressive. So it sounds like this guy's doing pretty good. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. I love that. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. That's important to realize, because what he's about to say is really hard. So out of the love that the Jesus, the creator, the savior of the world, looked at him and said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." So he's inviting this rich young ruler, give up everything you have, give it to the poor. Jesus very much cares for the poor. You'll see that in James 2. You want to know what pure religion looks like? Go care for poor, widows, orphans. It's so practical. It's so real. We need to be about that in the kingdom of God. But he's saying, give it all to the poor, and then come and follow me. And we've seen Jesus make these kind of bold things. You remember Peter when he's fishing? He's like, come and follow me. He literally left his boat, his fishing, his whole job, and followed Jesus. So he has done these really bold asks, and people have responded. Unfortunately, for this rich young ruler, he did not respond like Peter did, leaving his all his wealth aside. It says in 22, disheartened by this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here he is interacting with Jesus, his Lord and Savior. And he wants to have eternal life. That's how he's starting it. But he was so focused on his possessions instead of knowing the Savior that he went away sorrowful. Now, this ask isn't always something I hear nowadays, that Jesus is like, give away everything you have. But yet I have heard of testimonies where God will talk to someone and say, you need to sell everything. Liquidate your stocks, your savings, your job. Sell it all. Give it to the poor, give it to the church, give it to missions, whatever, and then I want you to come follow me. And I've heard there's testimonies like this, even today. If God was to ask you to do that, I'm not saying he is, but if he was to ask you, what would your gut reaction be, right? Oftentimes we can find out that how we react to that might show us that maybe we might treasure a little bit more of the things on earth, right, than the things in heaven. It's hard to let go of something that you're clenching, right? But if you're holding possessions with an open palm to heaven, Lord, I can't take anything out of this life. I didn't come in with anything in this life. In the short amount of life I'm on this planet, everything I have is yours. My resources, my life, my house, my apartment, everything you've given me. God, I just want to give to you. This rich young ruler clenched his possessions and missed an opportunity to know his Lord and Savior both in this life and the next. It doesn't go on to tell you much about that rich young ruler. Hopefully, maybe he repented and followed Jesus. That would be great, but we don't know. That's the part of the story we hear. So first, we want to have treasure that's based in heaven, not on earth. Because where what we treasure, that's where our heart will be. We don't want to be greedy like this rich young ruler. He was more concerned about his selfish ambitions and his material good than he was about following Jesus. I mentioned this last week, but I'll bring it up again. This is Matthew 6:24, Jesus talking again. That we can feel this struggle, right? We can feel this struggle. And I know I feel this struggle too, I have to be honest, that there's this whole idea, especially in our culture, but I'm sure you can get other countries, I want to follow Jesus 100, and I want to follow money at 100, right? Both at the same time. I want to know the cross of Jesus, and I want the American dream. It doesn't work that way though, right? It doesn't work that way. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And this is Jesus talking. Like, this is pretty crazy. He could have put a lot of different things against serving him. God's obviously infinitely better than money. But he didn't put in there, you know, you can't just serve your religious, like, knowledge or Jesus. You can't just serve after going after sexual experiences or Jesus. You can't just serve, you know. He specifically brought it to, you can't serve both God and money. Because that money is like a lowercase g God for many of us. And even as Christ followers, we can struggle with that. And to be honest, we're like, God, we're making a lot of money-based decisions as that money's leading us. And Lord, we will try to fit you in number two wherever we can. And when we come to that place, we need to repent. Lord, would you forgive me? I have placed money as a higher God in my life than my Lord and Savior Jesus. Jesus kept it real simple. Doesn't mean it's easy, but real simple. He said, seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The things that we run after so hard, right? So aggressively. Jesus is like, I know what you need. I'm a good father. I care for you. Don't you look at the sparrows, like the birds? I take care of them. They don't store money in barns. Look at the fields, right? You see these beautiful lilies. They're here for a day. They're gone. I'm going to care for you. Don't worry about running after things that those who do not know God run after. Those who follow Jesus, we're not supposed to be running that same race. We're supposed to be pursuing Jesus. Full 100% of everything. God, I want to serve you. I want to treasure your kingdom. I want to treasure Jesus. And I definitely don't want to serve money as my master. As I'm saying this, you might be feeling that the Lord's showing you, like, whoo, I've been going after the wrong, you know, master. I've been looking more at my finances or lack thereof, more than I would want to spend time with God, right? I'm more excited about money, tax returns, stimuluses, than I'm excited about knowing the love of Jesus. That's real, but it can be very convicting. It's one that I'm also thinking, God, am I more excited about your love, or am I excited more about what money's giving me? God, may I be more excited about your kingdom, your purposes, your provision, knowing Jesus both in this life and in the next. One more just quick thing, I'm going to share a little testimony, but Paul said in Acts 20, 33 to 35, said this. He says, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel, or today would be Bitcoin. You yourself know that these hands minister to my necessities and to those who are with me. Paul was an apostle. He was a pastor of pastors, essentially, and he was a tent-making pastor. He would work alongside, and he would provide. So he's saying that. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If we want to break through a heart of greed and really cultivate generosity in our heart, first it starts with having honest conversations with God. Lord, forgive me. Help me. That's a great place to start. God will forgive you. He died on the cross for our greed. That was one, that's a sin. He died on the cross for our greed. Lord, but I want to step out in generosity. So it's not just like, God, I want to think about generosity. Literally step out in generosity. And it's so neat that Paul has reminded us, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's hard if you're in a place where you're just trying to get. You're like, I don't believe that. But if you've stepped out and give, it's actually a lot more fun to give than to receive. Let me tell you a little testimony. So this past week, even before I knew I was going to be studying all this or whatever, I happened to go to one of the stores in town, and I met this individual who I just like had a, I felt like the Lord said, hey, go talk, and we're talking, and I've been wanting to talk to this person, and I haven't met them before, and just a great conversation, find out the brother of the Lord from another place. I'm just like, this is so cool. And so I was so just jazzed up just having this conversation that in my back of my mind, I felt like the Holy Spirit's like, as you're getting like, you know, and once again, this is specific to what the Holy Spirit's telling me, but I want you to bless them with this tax return that's coming back. I want you to bless this person financially. I just met them once, right? Hard to do if you're holding money like this. A lot easier, though, when your palms are like this. I was thankful. Sometimes I've been like this, to be honest. This moment, I was like this. So I went home and told my wife, Crystal, I had this really cool interaction with the brother and Lord's we're going to start. It's just shiny. This guy's shining bright for Jesus. So bright, just like literally glows and radiates. You could just tell this is a believer. You ever met someone like that before you even talked with them? And I'm like, dude, this guy is shining. I hope to be like this person. This person's shining bright in the store and just greeting people with like the love of Jesus. It's like amazing. So tell Crystal about this interaction. This is a whole cool thing about God. And God, and as we're talking, Crystal's like, I haven't told Crystal anything about like the financial thing that like the Holy Spirit was whispering. And Crystal's like, we need to bless this guy financially with this amount of money. I'm like, that's the exact amount of money that the Holy Spirit just told me to give. So it was super fun. So then I got to go to the bank, get out a bunch of cash. Crystal wrote a card, got to go up and like, we just want to bless you. The Holy Spirit, or I just went there. The Holy Spirit like really feel we just want to bless you. Have fun, whatever. Let me tell you, we were giddy with excitement. We were so excited. We were more excited to give than we were to receive. And if that seems mind-boggling, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? And so if you want to get out and filter out greed or envy or jealousy out of your heart, start acting with generosity. It doesn't necessarily have to be money. It could be with your time. It could be listening to others who are having a hard time. There's a lot of depression going on, just loving and listening to people. But as we're talking about money, definitely, Lord, how can I use my resources, the resources you've given me to steward, how can I use them for your kingdom? It's so cool when money's not your master because you're so freed up. Lord, whatever you want. You want to sell, you know, sell the house? Cool, sell the house. What do you want me to do? Want me to do missionary work somewhere else? Cool, go to, you know, be like maybe Marianne that Glenn was mentioning earlier. Go down, like, whatever you want, God. All this is yours. I'm not trying to build a kingdom on this planet, right? We're trying to advance the kingdom of God. And we can partake of that together. And so as we're in a time specifically where there's a lot of resources being given to a lot of people, and that could be with tax returns, it could be with stimuluses. I'm not getting into politics of any of that, but I'm just saying potentially there could be extra resources. For some of us, we're in a dire place right now where you're like, I need that money to get food and do whatever. That's great. So I don't want anyone to feel convicted or condemned. Oh, I mean, I need to do what Jim did. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to ask you to give anything, but I will ask you, would you talk to God and ask him if you should give anything? Are you with me? I'm not telling you to give anything. I'm just asking. Once again, the Holy Spirit prompted me when I was in a store. You need to bless this person financially and an exact amount. Talk to Crystal, confirmation, because the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of disorder. Brings order, right? But you could ask the Lord, Lord, could I do that? For some, maybe it's just putting it all right into debt or you have money. That's fine. For others, and Glenn and I get asked this even this year, and I got asked this several times last year. For some folks, you're like, I don't need this extra money. What can I do with it? And so Glenn and I were talking. We thought, hey, let's talk with one of our missionaries, Dave Coles. And we're like, is there any like gospel-driven, centric mission stuff going on that you're aware of that maybe we could help fuel with prayer, but also with finances? And so Dave Coles shared this really neat opportunity, and I think will pop up on the screen. It's called New Generations. I'm going to move over here. New Generations. And once again, I'm not asking you to give. Just asking if the Lord puts on your heart to give and you're looking for a place, this could be a helpful place to look. So what New Generations is, around the world, God is using just ordinary men and women who love Jesus to start these discovery Bible studies where they have times where they just read the Bible, the Holy Spirit leads it, people are getting saved, turns into a church. Most church sizes are about 14 people in houses, and it's just going all over the place. Millions are coming to Jesus. Isn't that great? Right? Remember, that's what heaven celebrates, so we're excited when one person comes to Jesus, let it known millions coming to Jesus in Iran and Afghanistan and India and underground church in China. God is moving all over the place. And so these little house churches, as they're popping up and duplicating and multiplying, some almost on a weekly basis, right? 14 next week, 14 is crazy. They're looking at resourcing them with some small, for us would be small financial if you compare to how most American churches run. Is small, and they're looking at maybe getting $500 to help these little churches as they're going to keep multiplying. So I just want to give you this from Glenn and I. It's really a resource through Dave. If you're looking for a place that maybe you're like, I'm thinking Great Commission, make disciples, how can we see the whole world know Jesus, and you want to be part of supporting that through prayer and finances, you can check out, and remember, don't just do it because I'm saying it, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is this something you want me to be a part of? And he might say no. Maybe he wants you to bless a local ministry or somebody you know personally. Have fun. It's so cool when money doesn't control you because you're like, oh, Lord, I can just bless anybody as you lead me, and it is so much better to give than to receive. So we can take down the link there for a second. So I'm going to invite up the musicians at this time, as well as a time of praise and worship and responding to the goodness of God. A couple of reflection questions as I'm wrapping up. Who or what do you treasure most? I was talking about that earlier, but who or what do you treasure most? Are you storing up treasure on earth or in heaven? And you can ask the Lord this in prayer, because sometimes, I know, I like to rate myself higher than oftentimes I am. Sometimes we rate ourselves lower than sometimes we are, but you can just ask our Heavenly Father, Lord, where am I at? How am I doing with this? Am I storing up? He'll tell you. He's such a good dad. Man, such a good dad. Another one, who do you serve, God or money? And who has greater influence in your life, God or money? Does money make all the decisions for you, or does God make all the decisions for you, right? If the Lord's calling you to a different country to share the gospel, but the main objection to that is like, what about the money? There's a struggle there, right? There's a tension there, right? And we would love to see more missionaries sent out from New Hope Community Church, amen, to other countries. So if you feel like there's a stirring, a country in your heart, and you're thinking, I'm just not doing it because of the money, our God is a provider. He's an amazing provider. If I had time, I could tell you countless testimonies that Crystal and I have seen God provide in amazing ways. Do not let money control your life. Surrender to the one true master, Jesus, and he will guide your life in a fruitful way where you can be blessed with something much better, the love of Jesus. And if you're thinking, well, that sounds great, I'd love to be generous, but nobody's being generous in my life, so I want to let you know that Jesus loves to give, and he gives the best. He gave his one and only life that you might have life and life abundantly. If heaven doesn't get you excited, then you most likely have settled for less treasure. And if knowing Jesus isn't the thing that is the most exciting thing, then I encourage you, get to know Jesus, because he's the greatest treasure. It's like someone who finds a field with a treasure buried in it, takes all their money, everything they has, liquidates everything, the gold, the bitcoins, puts it in, and then buys that field just to have that treasure. Jesus says that's like when you have the kingdom of God. You realize that that treasure is greater than any other treasure on earth. Money is not the best thing on the planet. It's knowing Jesus and knowing his love and sharing that with others, like Marianne down in Peru. May we have more Mariannes that are just wanting to love people like Jesus, to carry the gospel to the completion until our Lord and Savior comes back. So let's just take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that the best gift is not money. God, forgive us, forgive me when I think that money is just all we need. God, we don't need more money. God, we need you. We need you so much more. Help us, God, to be good stewards with what you entrusted us with, to be good servants of the resources. God, all our resources, not just 10%, all our resources is yours. Our money, our assets, our life, our words, our actions. God, I pray that we would have a heart of generosity, Lord. And forgive us, God, if you're bringing up right now greed and envy and jealousy that's popping up in our heart. God, you say you are faithful to cleanse us from all sins. All we simply have to do is confess them. So as you're watching this, if there's things coming up, you can just ask the Lord, God, forgive me of pride. Forgive me of greed. Forgive me of envy. Forgive me of jealousy. Whatever the Lord's putting on your heart. God, I want to have a heart of generosity like our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you that you give us the best gift of knowing you. Help us, God, to treasure that and build treasure in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.